Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and Dave, I can tell you that the low-flying helicopters are very ever-present here over the Michigan Avenue Bridge. Oh, I think you may even be able to hear them through the window. I mean, they've been over here in Pioneer Court. And
now, when they said they were starting at 8 o'clock, they weren't kidding.
Yes, so the Michigan Avenue Bridge is closed right now.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So
I'm back up on 7 here, so I can't see that.
Yes, well, feel free to come on down and get a look at the views of the helicopters as they come swooping by.
I might be able to look out the window here and see what is going on.
It's something to see. I'll be curious to see how they mesh that into the footage for when the movie gets done, on the movie Rampage.
We'll have to talk about the time they were filming Transformers,
yes.
I think it was.
Yes.
Wasn't that something?
Oh.
Nobody got any work done. Everybody was looking out along the river because of all the flames and water fireworks that were going on.
That was the most people I ever saw crowded into the Tribune's editorial boardroom was as they were looking out over that. Although that may have tied the time when I think Oprah was doing
that
the TV
been.
Show
that
over
been.
Here. Yes.
That was right around the same time.
Yes, it was. Yes,
yeah.
It was. So always something here in downtown Chicago.
You bet.
That's
you
for
bet.
Sure. Hey, I just wanted to give a reminder that the Kevin Kennelly Jr. Memorial Scholarship Fund, they're having their annual fundraiser over at Sox Park. It's the Sox versus Oriole game on Tuesday at 7:10. And tickets are $40. And Kevin tragically died in July 2011. And the scholarship fund was established over at Mount Carmel High School. And so far, they've given away over $185,000 in tuition awards to local teens entering their freshman year at Mount Carmel High School. So if you can pitch in and help out, you can give Kevin Kennelly a call at 773-909-0542. As I said, tickets are $40 a piece. It's a very good cause, so please keep that in mind. Well, joining me now on the phone is Robert Shapiro. He's an attorney, and he's also on the faculty at St. Xavier University. And I had spoken to Rob on last week when I was substitute hosting Politics Tonight on CLTV, and that was really before the Comey testimony. Now we've got the Comey testimony, and now we have Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, coming up next week. Rob, it never ends at the Senate Intelligence Committee.
No, it doesn't, and that's one of the lessons I think that Donald Trump is learning. You can't just bring one of these things to a conclusion. Because once it starts, it really people begin following the trail in many, many different directions, and it's going to continue for quite some time.
I've been playing some cuts this morning from Comey's testimony, and I'm curious, as an attorney, as someone who studies politics, political philosophy, what was your takeaway of Comey? Because, you know, you kind of looked at it as going in there, you and others, as in, well, you know, he can only say so much. But I don't know. I thought he was a very compelling witness.
Yes, I think he does make a very, very good appearance. He has, sometimes people criticize him for seeming like a Boy Scout, but that also does him a lot of good in terms of the credibility that he brings to what he says. In the actual substance of the testimony, I thought there was something for everyone. The Donald Trump detractors found a lot to like in the fact that Comey confirmed some of the things that had been leaked in the press and then elaborated on some of them to a great extent. And those who were detractors picked up on the detractors of Comey picked up on the fact that he acknowledged that President Trump was not himself a subject of the investigation, and also the acknowledgement that he leaked some information, and sometimes a little bit of self-righteousness that appeared in his testimony. So there was something almost for everyone.
I'm curious about, you know, that disclosure that he made about giving one of the memos that he had written to a friend of his at Columbia University to have it leaked out into the New York Times. And we saw the reaction of Trump's outside attorney talking about the potential of trying to file some kind of complaint with the Department of Justice on it, Comey saying, well, it wasn't confidential information. I don't know. I'm curious because it would still seem to be government information.
Yeah, I actually thought that was a very damaging admission by Comey, because he prides himself on his rectitude, on his always doing things by the book, and that certainly wasn't by the book. And so I thought the greatest harm that came from that is how it undermined his claim always to do things the right way. It was very surprising, I will say. It was a little bit of a glimpse into the inner workings of what goes on in Washington, since leaking is something that is done so frequently. But as I said, I think it was a little surprising that Comey himself acknowledged the leaking.
So the fact that Comey confirmed things like the request for giving loyalty, that he confirmed the idea that Trump was trying to have him lay off of the Michael Flynn investigation. The fact that he believes, as Trump acknowledged later, the fact that there was this cloud over his administration as a result of the Russia investigations. Are we at any kind of a legal juncture here as far as issues of obstruction of justice?
I think not yet. There's a lot of material there. And as I mentioned at the beginning, it's now going to continue. And there'll be further and further and further investigation of what it is that actually happened. Now, two things have to be kept in mind, or two different things have to be kept in mind, kept distinct. One is, was there wrongdoing during the course of the election and immediately after the election? That seems now to be a little bit lost. As we look at, did President Trump or others in his administration interfere with the investigation into those series of events? The reason that the former is not now the principal focus of public attention is that most of what comprises the underlying investigation can't be discussed publicly. So we've moved over into this phase about what's sometimes called obstruction of justice. There, what you have is one man's testimony about what happened. And we know that President Trump has denied it. He made a very unusual statement yesterday that said he would be willing to testify under oath. I'm not sure his lawyers were too happy about that. But we have one man's testimony, had a certain degree of credibility. We need, of course, to hear the other side. And it sounded like Attorney General Sessions had some things to question or challenge in Comey's testimony. We're not sure exactly what he's going to do. But we have to watch this develop, and it's going to continue to develop. And I think we're not yet at a stage where anybody would say, okay, well, there was a clear obstruction of justice here. And I mean that both politically and legally. But we are certainly at the threshold of a further investigation into what occurred.
Yeah, and there is, I don't think anybody expected when Robert Mueller was appointed as the special counsel, I don't think anybody expected there would be any kind of quick resolution to this.
I think that's right. Mueller's primary view or primary inquiry would seem to be about what happened during the course of the campaign and immediately thereafter. But Comey also made clear that it's going to be within Mueller's bailiwick, as it should be, whether there was an attempt to obstruct the investigation into those things. This is a way of something that happens frequently in modern and contemporary criminal investigations. Perhaps the greatest example of this is the Martha Stewart issue, where ultimately she was not found to have done anything wrong in the underlying activity, but she was found to have done something wrong in the course of the investigation into that underlying activity. And this was also true of Barry Bonds. And that's kind of what's happened here. There's the underlying inquiry, very serious issues about whether the Russians interfered with our election, and Comey made the statement that clearly they did. Whether they interfered, and whether in some ways the Trump administration or the Trump campaign was involved in that, that's a very serious inquiry. And now we've morphed into this other inquiry of, well, is somebody interfering or did somebody interfere with that inquiry? And both of those things are going to play out over a longer period of time. They both seem to be within the bailiwick of Mueller now as he does his investigation.
We're speaking with Robert Shapiro about James Comey's testimony and Jeff Sessions' appearance before the Senate Intelligence Committee this coming week. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me on the phone is Robert Shapiro. He's an attorney, also on the faculty at St. Xavier University. We're talking about last week's testimony by ex-FBI Director James Comey at the Senate Intelligence Committee, with Attorney General Jeff Sessions scheduled to be there on Tuesday. And, Rob, right before the break, you were kind of alluding to what always seems to be the worst part is that the cover-up is many times can be worse than the crime itself.
Absolutely. I actually worked on Capitol Hill during the Watergate crisis, and that is a great example. There was both the underlying activity, what the dirty tricks had been by the Nixon administration, and then secondly, what was done to prevent that from coming out, which is what led to the testimony of John Dean and ultimately the disclosure of the tapes, which, by the way, we may have again this time.
I was going to bring that up. I mean, when the president was out in the Rose Garden and is asked about tapes, and indeed we had Comey say that he actually, you know, kind of I hope there are tapes. And then the president kind of indicates, well, I'll let you know in the near future. And then he goes, you'll be disappointed. He says he's not hinting at anything.
Well, he's hinted at this a couple of times. He said some time ago, he says, Comey better hope there aren't any tapes. And everybody's been puzzling over these comments. They may just be designed to stir the waters a little bit. And
a misdirection play?
Yeah, something like that. But it's really unusual. It's hard to figure out exactly what the president is referring to. Sometimes he suggests there are tapes. Sometimes he suggests there aren't tapes. And, you know, who knows? But, of course, in the Watergate crisis, probably about 3, 4, or 5 weeks after Dean testified, it came out through the testimony of Alexander Butterfield that there were tapes, which led to a long, long legal controversy as well as the ultimate impeachment proceedings.
Well, we saw that, you know, at least as far as the House Intelligence Committee, they wasted no time in asking the White House counsel for any tapes that might exist here.
Well, as well they should. I mean, there's right now a kind of he said, she said character to the controversy if there are tapes that actually show what people said. Now there also was in Comey's testimony a number of cases in which he kind of provided a gloss on what occurred. And that, of course, will be helped by the tapes in the sense that we'll be able to hear the tone of what was said. But some of it comprised what Comey inferred by what was being said rather than what was actually said. And that was a little bit interesting. The tapes will help, as I said, with tone, and then everybody can make their own judgment as to what it is that the president was actually doing.
Well, you make a very good point because, you know, as a journalist, to me, words matter. But it's words in context. And for example, you know, there was that questioning of Comey that, you know, have you ever seen an indictment based on somebody saying, I hope you can see your way to do something. But at the same time, there's also the fact, you know, you're being asked to stay in the Oval Office. The Attorney General is asked to leave as he lingered. Jared Kushner is asked to leave as he lingered. And there you are in the Oval Office, and the President of the United States says something like, you know, I hope you can see your way. I mean, in that kind of grandeur of the setting, and, you know, this is the most powerful man on earth saying, I hope you can do something. That's why Comey said he felt like it was a directive.
Yeah, this, I thought this was one of the more unusual aspects of Comey's testimony. We all have a sense of what President Trump is like, and he has a, I think it's fair to say, even in an objective way, that he has a kind of bullying and very, very tough guy manner. He actually revels in it. And the fact that he said, I hope you can see your way clear, you can't just take that as, well, you know, it's a mild hope, as one of the senators tried to suggest. On the other hand, it is a little difficult to think of what the tone was that led Comey to believe that that was an actual directive. If it had been a directive, you would have thought that President Trump would have said something that was, I want you to, or I direct you to. So it's neither as mild as the senator was making it out to be, nor is it obvious that it was as specific a directive as Comey suggested it was. I thought this was the most puzzling thing of all in the testimony. And I think if we could actually hear a tape recording, we would have a much better sense of what it was in the tone that led Comey to make this conclusion and whether he was justified or not. It's a little hard to think of that language as being an actual directive. And this is clearly the way Comey took it. But it's not clear what it was in the statement that led Comey to that conclusion. I thought that undercut his credibility a little bit because, as I said, it's hard to think about those words and to say, oh, gee, he's telling him to do something. But we don't know the context, so it would be interesting to hear it if there is, in fact, a tape recording.
I wonder, too, about there are some who are saying, who are as defenders of the president, saying, well, look, he's not a creature of government. He's not an institutional guy. And so maybe he says something like, well, I hope you can see your way to letting Mike Flynn let that go. I want loyalty. Of course, Trump denies saying those things. But if he were to say them, that this reflects a neophyte at government, and that's somebody that wouldn't, you know, see obviously the inherent potential issues of conflict and potential obstruction that could exist.
Well, I think there's certain truth to that. In the sense of President Trump clearly has no experience with this kind of thing, and he has been trying to use his experience as a real estate
tycoon
person.
Well, dealer, you mean?
Dealer is a better idea. But and also a performer, which is a big part of his personality. So there's a certain sense that you have that he is inexperienced. On the other hand, I don't think President Trump is ever going to say, oh, I just didn't know what I was doing, because that's very inconsistent with his personality generally. So his defenders are going to be making this argument. I don't think he'll be making this argument, which is really kind of interesting. And it's interesting how his supporters are going to view this, because many of the people who supported Donald Trump really like the fact that he isn't constrained by the usual way of talking. And sometimes there's a disconnect between a liking of that and what the law will permit. Because if President Trump used this kind of bullying or brutish manner with Comey, that can be construed as sort of the basic elements of obstruction of justice. Obstruction of justice requires a criminal intent to interfere with this. And if what President Trump did, whether through inexperienced or otherwise, is with a very clear design, try to stop Comey from doing the investigation, that is the beginning of a case for obstruction of justice.
I think this is going to be a long, slow drip, drip, drip.
I think that's right. People forget because that when they look back at Watergate, they say, oh, gee, you know, this was a very intense time. It really worked its way out over a period of about a year and a half, even a little bit more, when all these things came out. And it was a very long process. And from a grander or a greater perspective, this is very, very, very disastrous, I think, for the effectiveness of the Trump administration, because it just continues to distract and detract from the various activities that are going on. A lot of things aren't getting done, and a lot of things that require public attention and public momentum are being interfered with by this, and it's kind of a crisis of the Trump administration's own making in that respect.
That's Robert Shapiro. He's an attorney and a member of the faculty at St. Xavier University. Rob, thanks so much for joining me on this Sunday morning. I really appreciate your insights.
Oh, thanks, Rick. It's a pleasure.
We'll be back with more right after this.